journey is long. Lord, this morning that there will be the ability to eat. Hallelujah. For the journey that is set before us, that we might be able to run this race and accomplish it and fulfill your purpose, my God. Lord, that we'll be able to cast aside every weight and every sin that God easily beset. My God, that we might look unto Jesus this morning, even the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, this is our prayer. This is our cry to you this morning. We say, blow, blow, my God. Let your wind blow this morning, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let your river flow this morning. God, this is our prayer, my Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we thank you, we thank you. Hallelujah, we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that this weekend has been a very good one for us. Amen. Is it not so? Amen. And for those of you who were not here from Friday, I'm sure you're missing a great deal. Amen. Hallelujah. But you can get the CDs and listen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I believe that this is the time when God is visiting us. God is changing things. Hallelujah. Because there is a wind that is blowing. And like the politicians would say, they say it's wind of change. So there is a wind of change. Hallelujah. You know, all that we have tried to do in the past year, all the structures and all the patterns and all the philosophies we try to build in the past year, the wind of God is coming to blow them down, so that he will have for himself a new man. Hallelujah. One new man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So all you have to do is to make sure that you position yourself properly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because if you are wrongly positioned, the wind will blow you down. And you may not be part of the change that is coming. You know, because this is the time when the angel with the ink horn is going about sealing the foreheads of the people of God. We must find ourselves in a position where we can be sealed. Or else we are going to lose out. Amen. So I want to encourage us, brethren. I think it's in Hebrews. He said that you should not look down on him that prophesies. You should not look down on the word that God is bringing to us in this hour. But let us take them to heart. Let us work in them. It's going to profit us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I can tell you, I have series of testimonies on how this word has worked for me. It has brought a lot of change in my life. It has brought a lot of change in my relationship with my wife. It has brought a lot of change in my relationship with the brethren. So I know that the word of God is true, because I have tasted it, I have handled it, and I know it is true. It is a reality. The word of God is not fable. It's not philosophy of man. It is the word of God. And he sees the power of God to save.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So I want to encourage you, the word that the Lord is bringing to us this weekend, go back, listen to them again, and ask the Lord, how can I walk in this thing? And the Lord will show you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a burden I have in my heart. Amen. It's something that God began to show me about how our fellowship and our relationship with Him can be kept healthy. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, in our marriage, for example, or in marriages, there are specific things you have got to do to keep your relationship alive. There are certain rules you must keep. I'll give you an example of what happened last night and this morning. I don't give you old stories. I called my wife and I told her that we're not coming back today, we're coming back tomorrow morning. She was angry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
She said that she's the only one in the compound. Everybody, one tenant packed away, the other one traveled, the other one works offshore, so nobody is there right now except her. She said, I'm just living here alone with this baby. Nobody to put on the light, nobody to pump water, nobody to close the gate. And she was annoyed. I tried to apologize. She shut the phone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
After this morning, after praying, I now called her. I said, why were you angry with me last night? She said, why wouldn't I be angry? You left me and this baby alone. I said, I'm very, very sorry. Please forgive me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So try and cope. I'm coming back tomorrow morning. Just manage. You know, I love you so much. I'm really sorry. Huh? Amen. She said, okay. Amen. If you don't do that, your relationship will be in trouble. Do you understand? That we should not take anything for granted. And that is what the church has been doing. We take a lot of things for granted. We just do whatever thing we like. And we think it will pass. Hallelujah. It will not. So we must do certain things that will keep church life alive. There are things we must do to keep our fellowship with God and with one another going. Hallelujah. That was why he said that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. There must be certain things I'm doing that is hindering my flow with my brother. And God is not happy with it. No matter how religious you get, if you like, come out here and jump up, somersault, pray in tongues, do whatever thing you have to do, and you don't have good relationship with your brethren, you're wasting your time. If you like, enter Mr. Biggs, buy all the ice cream there. Buy meat pie and chicken. Enter big shop and buy flour, buy all that, buy new dress. And you quarreled last night with your wife and you haven't sorted it out. And you haven't come to the place where you tell her, I am sorry. All that your gift will mean nothing to her. Amen. Amen. So we must learn to deal with issues. Don't sweep them under the carpet. So I repeat, there are certain rules, there are certain things we must do that can keep our relationship alive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So God began to show me some of those things. Because they were not done, that is why our fellowship is not as effective and as strong as it should be. Okay, put it in another way. Because we don't do all of the things that is expected, that is why we have fellowships that are not healthy. Hallelujah. You know, God has a principle. He says that if you keep all the law and you break one, what does that mean? He says you are what? Guilty of all of them. Amen. It's a principle. And that principle applies in this word that God has given to me. Because if we don't do all that God expects, we create a lot of imbalance. It will be like a house without a complete pillar. It will be like a house that have half foundation. Amen. So God began to show me this. And this is what we are going to share this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I mentioned part of it the other day. I think that was yesterday. Let's go to Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read from verse 42. Okay. Now before we read that, you know, there are certain things that Jesus did, and they are very, very significant. The Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of what? Prophecy. Amen. So everything that he did have a prophetic significance. And it is important we realize that. Jesus never went to any place without a purpose. He never did anything without a purpose. Everything he did had a purpose, and they are fitted right within the heart of the will of the Father for him. And that is why it is important we look at the account of the life of Jesus. Because it is very, very important. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so we read Acts chapter 2. I will read from verse 40. He said, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Hallelujah. And by the way, how many of us here are baptized in water? How many of us are baptized in water here? Hallelujah. Okay. How many of us are not baptized in water? You are not baptized. Raise your hand. Amen.
Amen.
Now it's important that you get baptized if you're born again. We may not be able to get into the details of the issue of water baptism, but I believe that if when Brother Jesus comes on, he is going to talk a little bit on that. You know me, I'm not a teacher. Hallelujah. I come to demolish. Hallelujah. And to build. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So let the teachers do that business. But the truth of the matter is that baptism is very, very important. The word baptism means to initiate. Hallelujah. Huh? Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, well, I never belonged to one on campus, but I know that when pirates, Vikings, all those people, if you want to belong to that organization, you always have one night of initiation. After that initiation, you can then belong. The rights and privileges of the organizations can now be to you, offered to you. Now, if they did that in the world of darkness, don't you think that the scripture has the original? Amen. Everything you see around, darkness is a counterfeit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So baptism is an initiation. An initiation that welcomes you into the body of Christ. You watch my word, I say it welcomes you. It is not the ultimate, though it has eternal consequence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. We are not here to argue with theologians about the man that was on the cross that did he have baptism. I'm not here to do all that argument. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Such arguments lead to blockage. Hallelujah. Just like I argued about the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 9 years after being born again, I was never baptized. But the day I opened my heart, I said, Lord, it is true. That night I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I spoke in tongues till daybreak. Hallelujah. So stop all your arguments, especially when it comes to the things of the Spirit. Argument blocks the way for you. Agitations block the way for you. Amen.
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 You know what he told one woman? He appeared to one woman and said that thing inside of you is of the Holy Spirit. The woman said, but my Lord, how shall these things be? Seeing that I know no woman. I know no man. Amen. And you know what the Bible said thereafter? The Bible said that she took that word and she put it in her. She better knew that there was no room to argue with God. But that the word that she has heard, she has to hide it in her heart. She has to, pamper that word. Huh? Hallelujah. She has to nurture that word. She has to give water that word until it begins to grow and germinate. So let us stop all our arguments. Anything you don't understand, take it to God. Say, God, I don't understand this. Brother Emma said this. But it runs against my theology. But Lord, I bring it to you. Explain it to me. As you keep your heart open, God will begin to open it up. And you will just discover that you no longer have any argument at all. You know what have killed us, the end time church? We know too much. We know too much. And yet we know little of the power of God. Hallelujah. You know, Paul says, I'm coming to you, but not in words, but I come to you in the demonstration of the Spirit. That is what will give credibility to the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, brethren, let us not argue. If you are not baptized, you can get the elders, tell them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, because I didn't have the opportunity you had. I don't know whether this my friend followed me. We went to a place called Chapel of Redemption in Port Harcourt. Because the end time church did not know what to do. Because the elders did not know what to do. Those early days. So we had to go to Chapel of Redemption. And there, one man baptized us. And gave us certificates. Hallelujah. Let it not be so with you. Elders must fish out. From time to time, those that are not baptized in water by immersion. We're not talking about sprinkling. You know, we're not talking about that one. That is not our discussion. It's outside the scope of this. We don't talk about sprinkling. If you have been sprinkled before with water, you are not baptized. Is that very clear? If you, that is, they took you to Presbyterian church, because that is what is popular here, or Kwaibo church, or which other one, any one of them, and they sprinkled you water, you are not baptized. Sorry, you are not baptized. You must be properly baptized. And the elders have that responsibility to do that. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. So let's continue our reading. He said, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to watch verse 42, because that is very, very important. And they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. You see the word there? Steadfast. Please, can somebody tell me what the word steadfast means? Can anybody tell me that? What does it mean to be steadfast? Do you have interlinear there? Can you click on interlinear? Two words that are very, very important. They continued. Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, they have been instructed before, is it not so? Yes. Yes. Yes.
To hold on.
To hold on to what you have.
Not moving away
from it. Okay.
Going on
with it.
What you have heard.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes.
The Greek word is proskateko, and it means to be earnest towards the thing, to persevere, be constantly diligent, to continuously all the exercises to adhere closely to. I tend continually upon, continue, wait on.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I read English language too. Amen. So I know that when a word says continue steadfastly. Amen. It is giving it a double qualification. Hallelujah. Because steadfastly also means to continue. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, it is very, very important.
He
said, continue steadfastly. Means that there were things that they were taught. There were things they were instructed. And they have been practicing it. But the person who instructed them was no longer there. So they continue in what the person has taught them. Amen. Hallelujah. You ask yourself, why did they have to do that? If it was not important, they would have discontinued it. But because it was important and significant, they had to continue. Hallelujah. Amen. They have to be earnest about it. They have to persevere. So persevere means that whether it is convenient or not. They persevered in adhering to that which they have been instructed. They were constantly diligent. Amen. Now, they did all this because there was something that was important to them that is for their own good. Amen. And the scripture says that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Number one. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll take them one by one because it's important. One thing that can keep a fellowship or a family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I keep on relating the church to the family. Because the family is a microcosm, is a unit, a part of the church. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The family is very, very important. It is very, very important to the church. If there is katakata in your family, you can come here and begin to concentrate. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that not true? Hallelujah. If you have problems, real problems in your family, that is, hallelujah, we keep on using that. I don't know whether it is the experience here. If husband and wife is always fighting, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And you are an elder, or you are a minister, you come and stand here and minister to the people of God. You know what you will be spreading? By the time you know it, your very close friend will begin to beat up his wife also. The friend of the other one will begin to beat up his wife also. Because the Bible says that a little leaven leaveneth all. He says that the word that I speak, that they are what? Spirit and they are life. As the man stands here and begins to speak, he will be releasing the spirit spirit of fighting and beating up husband and wife. Hallelujah. That is why families must sort things out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just imagine that I did not sort out something with my wife this morning. My offering here will be useless. Because someone has an ought against me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. He said your offering is useless. If you know that someone here has something against you. You know what the Bible says? He said just keep your offering outside. Go first of all. And then sort things out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So it is important that the families learn how to resolve issues. If they don't do that, there will be problems. Anyway, the Bible is saying here that the people continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Number one, the thing that I believe as a person, as a priest in my own house, I must endeavor to pass it on to my family. Very, very important, very, very crucial. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 I must sit my family down and impart unto them. Hallelujah. I must show them the direction that this family is going. You know, there are many families that are purposeless. They don't have purpose, they don't have direction. They just wake up and anything that comes, they carry and go. Your family must have a purpose in God. You must know where you are going. If you don't know where you are going, you are in trouble. Because many families don't know where they are going. That's why their children are reckless. Nobody has given them any direction. So what becomes their what do they keep company with? They're always pinging with their phone. They're always playing with their phone. They're always on the internet. They're always watching every manner of movie. No purpose. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Our families must know where we are going. That is the dilemma of the end time church. Let me tell you something. We can give them very good education, and yet they remain purposeless. You can send them to UK and send them to America. That is entirely your business. In fact, we are expected to do that. I tell you something. That is not the inheritance you are supposed to be bequeathing to them. You must give them God. If you want to straighten up things, give your family God. Hallelujah. Give your children God. Offer them God. Let them have foundation of God in their life. If not tomorrow, I can tell you something. I can prophesy to you that your, whether husband or wife, you will be miserable because you lost the opportunity to offer them God. It might be painful to them now, but we must do it. Sit down and learn. Instruct them. But how can you instruct if you don't know yourself? So you must give yourself diligently to the word of God. Hallelujah. Over the few past years, I have learned to come and put myself under subjection to learn. And I can tell you it has never been easy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So we must give ourselves as priests in the house. We must be able to get into the treasures and be able to bring out the old and the new and instruct your household in the way they should go. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 All my children, I think they know where we are going. They know the reason for the present suffering. They understand why there is lack in the house. Because if they don't understand, they will be building their castle in the air. Oh, my father is this. Oh, my father has this. But they all know. They know my bank account. So don't expect too much. If you don't have that, your children, they will go to the campuses and they tell lies. They will say, my father has homages. Meanwhile, he has nothing. Let us instruct our children, brethren. The end time church is in Delima. In a dilemma, and in a very crucial dilemma for that matter. Because we have lost the control of our children. But he says, in returning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In returning. So there is a returning. A returning that will bring peace. A repentance that God expects from us. Amen. Hallelujah. So we move a little bit. Because it's important. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The next is the church. Jesus was speaking, or this scripture was particularly speaking about the church, is it not so? Hallelujah. He said they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Like I said yesterday, doctrine. Doctrine is very, very important too. Don't listen to any man who tells you that doctrine is not important. I will give you clear examples of what doctrine can do to a man. In the army, if you want to stay out of trouble, you must learn the army word doctrine. So there is a general who is in charge of that section. It's called Army Doctrine and something. Army Doctrine. This is where the soldiers are taught how to behave, how to conduct themselves. They are taught. When you are due for promotion, you will know. How many times you have entered into God's room is important to them. So you must learn to stay out of trouble. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will know where you fall in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You can't come and you'll be rubbing shoulders, a bloody sergeant like you, you'll be rubbing shoulders with brigadiers when we go into the mess. And then that day you are in trouble. Hallelujah. That day you are very, very much in trouble. Hallelujah. For your information, they failed me. If not, I would have. You know, Brother PJ? Brother PJ was a year ahead of me in the Nigerian Military School. You know PJ?
Okay.
Hallelujah. It was that year I was in Nigerian Military School. They failed me there. That was why I came out. Because I did not meet up to the standard. Amen. Even though then my mom said that when they went to post you, tell them that you want to be in the kitchen. So that you will not go to war. As the only son, tell them you want to work in the kitchen. Hallelujah. But you know, in the military, it's not your portion to choose where you belong. Where you are going to serve. No, it is not. It is, that right is not given to you. So during the training in doctrine, they tell you where you work and how the conditions of where you work. They also tell you how to respect your seniors. You see a brigadier passing, and then your casual sergeant like you just pass and go. Hallelujah. The following day you see, you know those they call MP or RP. They will call you to order. They say you saw Brigadier so and so and you passed. You didn't greet him. Into the guard room. They will shave your head there. You stay there for 2 or 3 days. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So doctrine is important.
Amen.
Doctrine will tell the army when to fight and when not to fight. It will give them direction, the things they should do. But the end time Sometimes church say that apostles' doctrine is not important. I use the word, we are playing pranks. If prosperity, if a prosperity man comes preach today, we collect. If a fall down and die, man comes, we collect. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's how we. So there is a lot of confusion. We don't know where we are going as people of God. It is the apostles' doctrine that gives you the direction. It is what sets the vision clearly to you. And I ask you here today, what apostolic vision do you have? Whose apostolic vision are you following? Hallelujah.
Amen.
If we don't know it, we'll be dancing around. We'll be just walking in confusion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, one, I just want to bring this now. I think that God is prompting that. You know, in the church, we don't even know who is who anymore. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ask you one little test now, you will fail. What ministry do you think Brother Emmanuel has? Who can tell me? Who can tell me? Many times we confuse ourselves. We don't even know who is who. We don't even appreciate and know what God has given to us. We think everybody, we are on the same, doing the same thing all the time. I'm not talking about hierarchy. Don't get me wrong. But God has given specific ministries in the body. And by these ministries, the church is set towards its rightful direction. And in those ministries, the potentials are not an age. You'll be going round and round. You'll just be going round and round. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm praying that God, after this meeting, will begin to set up men and women that will move in the power of God, that will set the house in order, that will give the house purpose and direction. So we must establish ourselves in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine simply means teaching. So don't think it is not a high sounding word. It is a very simple word. Didaskalos. That is what the Greek word. It means teaching. Teachings of who? The teachings of Jesus. Last night, Brother Chiyoke mentioned, is it not so? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
He mentioned it, and it's important we know it. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The number two thing, they were in fellowship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the word is koinonia. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It means it is not necessarily you share, I share. Do you understand? I'm laughing because that's what Brother Chiyoke was saying. Many of us think that fellowship is you share and I share. You understand? We don't have any pastor. What is the name of your fellowship? When there is no name. If you come there, everybody is equal. You share. You can even get up. You came today, you can get up and share. And it means that we can come and do whatever thing you like. That is wrong. Amen.
Amen.
The word fellowship means to partake of one another's life. Hallelujah. He says that we are one bread. Amen. And that we eat what? Of one another. That is fellowship. Amen. It is partnership. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In other words, all of us, we join, we are together moving towards a direction. Helping one another to accomplish that purpose. We are in partnership one with another. Hallelujah.
Amen. And we, in order to do this, we communicate often one with another. He says that them that are called, that is Malachi, that they did what? They spoke often one with another. And the book of remembrance was what? Opened unto them. And what do we communicate? We exchange ideas, the dealings of God. That is why even testimonies are important. Because through our testimony, somebody's life is changed. Hallelujah. Amen. So tell somebody, listen, if you are able to overcome, then I can also what? Overcome. That is fellowship.
Yes.
That is fellowship.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. There shouldn't be any time we come and somebody doesn't have a testimony. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then you know the kind of testimony we expect. And that is where we get it wrong. Hallelujah. How you went to NDDC and you won a 100 million contract. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. In the true gatherings of the people of God, such testimonies don't work. I can tell you with good authority. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what works? How you suffered and you came alive. How you went through tribulation and God helped you out. How you the devil nearly killed you and God delivered you. Those ones work. But the other one of money, do you know what it does? The holiest God, if you did it this way, why don't you do it for me? You don't like it so much. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And most of the time, I've seen the money futile away. Why? Because some negative people will be projecting negative thoughts towards the man who shared the testimony. We are not saying don't share it. We are not saying don't share it. It's not a rule. I'm not saying don't share it. But be careful what your motive is. Be careful what is in your heart. Hallelujah. How would it help the church? How would it help them grow? How would it show them the apostolic direction? How would it encourage them to go? Hallelujah. Amen. I've seen a congregation where they share that kind of thing. And because you want to feel you belong. Somebody comes here and he tells us lies. Hallelujah. Not only that, somebody goes to steal money so that he can have that kind of testimony. Somebody goes to give bribes so that he can have that kind of testimony. It does not work. Amen. You know where you hear that type? Go to Winner's Chapel. You can hear such. But the church that God is calling in this hour, the issue of riches is not an issue at all. It is not a factor that builds us up. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's leave that one. Then finally, it is a communion. Commune. Hallelujah. Amen. To share with one another. Hallelujah. Another word says that it is contributing and what? Distributing. Hallelujah. It is, in other words, it's a give and take. Hallelujah. It is a give and take. The much you bring here is the much you are going to receive. The much you give. He said, blessed. It is more blessed to give than to what? To receive. You know, many of us come to fellowship empty-handed. You don't have anything to offer. You have come to watch maybe Brother Isaac preach. You have brought nothing. You are so empty. Empty-handed.
There is nothing to bring before God. There is no offering to bring before Him. That is not fellowship. You must have something to bring. Hallelujah. It might be just a prayer you pray. It can be just a scripture you read. It can be something that God has dealt with you over the night. Hallelujah. And you prepare yourself to bring it before the people of God. Because you know it will help them in their pursuit towards the apostolic vision. And you table it before them. Sometimes it's just a dream. You don't need to understand it. You say, brother, I had this dream last night. I don't understand it. Hallelujah. And you don't have the ability to even interpret it. But this is what I had last night. And you say it and you drop it on the table. Hallelujah. I can tell you that can cause a meeting to have a different direction. It can make someone to have a burden today. That is communion. Hallelujah. You know we can come for fellowship and you go back empty. Is it possible? Oh, quite possible. Hallelujah. Because somebody has not invested time to pray and to seek God. I have been in such fellowship most of the time. And I go back and I start looking for fellowship. Sometimes I call Brother Chizuka, I say, I'm coming to visit you. Because the fellowship I may have had didn't offer me much. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Our fellowship must be meaningful. It must set on a purpose. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, we take the third one. Breaking of bread. Hallelujah. The third thing, before I call it the name I want to call it, hallelujah, is the breaking of bread. Let me ask this house. When did you break bread last? When did you break bread last? When? 1st January. That's strange. Why did you do that? Because it was a new year, is it not so? No. Say the truth. It was because it was a new year. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Sister Udua says that it was because it was new year. They said 30th December because it was end of the year. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, part of my business is to demolish certain things we have in our head. With the intention that we will build and have the right foundation. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Most times when we have a meeting like this, we normally want to break bread. So if we have many times of meetings like this, we break bread every time.
So are we breaking bread today?
We have done that. I think it's just when we break bread.
Okay, we're now finding the different reasons why we did that. Okay, praise God, it's good.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. But let me tell you something. You don't really have, you don't need to have a reason why you break bread. I don't know whether you know that. Hallelujah. Look at it there. They continued what? Steadfast. Hallelujah. Continue. Hallelujah. Steadfastly. Amen. There's another word that we have to define. The word is OFT.
OFT. Huh? What? Okay, that is the short form of what? Often.
Okay,
praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. That one, Paul used it. But you understand what they meant by continue steadfastly when you look at that word. What does the word often mean?
Yes.
Huh? Always. Always. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now let me tell you something. This understanding has been hidden from the church. And Catholic, the Catholic Church, make sure that you don't know it. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you following? They make sure that you and I don't know the truth. Because when you break bread, there is a renewal that comes upon you. There is strength that comes upon you. There are many things. You renew your covenant. We are going to look at it because we are going to focus on breaking of bread. Whether you break it today or not, it's entirely up to you. Who forced that? Hallelujah. But you must know the truth. Hallelujah. So that we can stop the enemy from taking undue advantage of us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So Catholic made sure that the truth is hidden from us. And they administer it to you. Only when you have qualified. Hallelujah. I was an Anglican. Hallelujah. And I got born again. Hallelujah. Amen. Before I got born again, I was enlisted they call it class. They call it confirmation class. Hallelujah. And I told myself that I am not going to become a communicant until I am born again. That was something I said to myself long time. Hallelujah. So I got born again only to remember that I made that covenant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So by it was 5th November 1975. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, by Friday of 1975, that is on the 3rd of November, we had class. And for you to be confirmed, you need to update your class fee. You understand what I mean? My own was not complete. I did not pay complete. And here I am. I'm going to be confirmed on Sunday. I have to tell my mom. I say I need to pay off my class fee. If not, I'm not going to join them in this confirmation. My mother gave me money, so I went and paid. So I was qualified. Hallelujah. To go for confirmation. And at the day of confirmation, one man somewhere, after they prayed for you, they used their staff to knock on your head. And then you have been confirmed. What was all that about? So that they can give me license to do what? To break bread. Is it not so? So I can be permitted to break bread. In other words, if I am not confirmed, I am not qualified to eat bread. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Do you have that kind of experience?
Yes.
Amen. Okay. Now, they also wait for you. They won't give you that, whether you are a communicant or not. But when once you are ready to die, and they know that, they say, go and call the parish priest. So come and give the man Holy Communion. Hallelujah. Why wait until when the man wants to die? Hallelujah. Why didn't you give it to him before then? What I'm trying to say, brethren, is that The church system has covered the truth from us. And because the truth has been hidden from us, we are suffering. We are suffering. Hallelujah. Jesus said that that you have to continue in the what? In apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in what? Breaking of bread. Why he said that was that because he needs you to have life. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if it wasn't important, do you know what? The very night he was to be crucified, hallelujah, he would have just gone ahead. He would have just left it and said it's not important. Rather, he told some certain disciples, he said, go and prepare me a place. And that was the last thing that he did before he went to the cross. So tell you how important it is. Hallelujah. Amen. So my brethren, breaking of bread is very, very important. Hallelujah. In this meeting, we are going to single that out. Because amongst all that he asked us to continue with this one, we have not been handling it properly. There have been a lot of imbalance. There have been a lot of inconsistencies. And that is why many of us are sick. And many are weak, and some even what? Die. Because this element is missing. Hallelujah. Amen. The fourth and the final one was what? Prayer. And in prayer, it is subsumed that fasting is accompanying it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Or it is assumed that prayer is part of it. Hallelujah. We are not going into the components of prayer. Brother, you see these four pillars. I call them pillars. That is what keeps a house. That is what keeps a house healthy. If you don't have pillars in any house, that house will not stand. Is it not so? Huh? Hallelujah. Even though it stands, hallelujah, one side will be bending. One side is likely to cave in. But I have never seen any house without four pillars, without four corners. Somehow, there are corners, there are pillars that hold the house. But the church of Jesus, and especially the end time church, they have bought into the doctrines of the world. And breaking of bread has been in exclusion. We do it when we are having New Year. Or we do it when we're having end year activities. We do it when we feel like. It is not a matter of when you feel like. There is no how we can come to a fellowship and you just say there will be no prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is it not so? No time will have come and we have never prayed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 There is no time we have gathered and there is no apostolic doctrine. Even though some of us still have problems with that. So these four are what keeps a house healthy. That is what keeps a house moving. That is what lifts up a people to keep on moving in God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So we are going to emphasize a little bit. And the reason why we are doing that is very simple. We don't need to talk so much about apostles' doctrine, even though we are not holding so much. The church is not holding apostolic doctrine as the way they should. Every manner of teaching, every wind of doctrine is flying around. And from today, brethren, we must go for the apostles' doctrine. We must go. There must be apostolic vision that we are pursuing. Hallelujah. We must have true fellowship. A fellowship where we gather lifting up holy hands. Without any strife, without any contention. Hallelujah. We must gather having prayer as the one of the things that hold us. For some of us, when some people start praying, you start feeling unease. I wonder whether you people really have that. In MIS, some brethren will start praying. When we say that is in the next 45, 1 hour. One man is praying. And you have a tendency to grumble and complain. Oh, let it not be brother, sister, and so. He prays long prayers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Some of us don't like long prayers.
Why is it
bad? It's after all, what you want to pray, God already knows. Why do you need to pray long prayers? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. In the day of adversity, long prayers will help you. That is what will deliver you. Intercessory prayers will deliver you. So don't play with it when the church begins to pray long prayers. Hallelujah. Some of us here don't even attend night vigil. It is left for elders to do that one. Hallelujah. You stay in your house and you'll be sleeping. I pray that the day of calamity doesn't meet you on your bed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I have this feeling that if I don't, when the brethren are having night, I don't go, that robbers might come and attack me. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know that he said when men go to war, David was in the rooftop. That was his undoing. Is it not so? Amen. So don't take it lightly when brethren gather to pray. Take advantage of it. Hallelujah. When there are teachings, and pay attention, take down notes. Hallelujah. Amen. So it is important we know that. Now, I don't know how much time I have. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I will just show us a dip of types and shadows of breaking of bread. That it is not just an Old Testament, a New Testament thing. There are types of it scattered all over the scripture. In other words, it's something that is important to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's take the Passover. Look at Exodus 12. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll read from 5 to 8. We'll just take them very briefly. Then we'll go to the main thing and round up from there. He said, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The blood in this case was not, they did not drink it. Hallelujah. But the door, but it was used on the doorpost. Hallelujah. And what was the purpose of that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
What was the purpose of the blood being put on the doorpost of their houses? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. What was the purpose? The purpose was very simple. To keep away what? Death. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Now, the blood was put on the outside. Amen. How much more when the blood is drunken?
If the blood that was put on the doorpost was effective in keeping away the angel of death, how much effective will it be when I drink it? I leave the answer to you until we get to 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Amen. And you come to discover that the blood has the ability to immune me from death. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus, making reference, said that if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, that you do what? You have life in you. Hallelujah. In other words, if you don't eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, what do you have? Death. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So I can, death cannot have power over me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Because of what? Because of the blood. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, look at verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So here is the Passover lamb. And we know that the Passover lamb is who? Is Jesus Christ. Is it not so? Amen. Hallelujah. John said that this is the Lamb of God that does what? That taketh away the sins of the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay, so we discover that the effect of this particular one, that one of the purposes of the Passover was to keep away death. I wonder if the end time church really realized that. I just wonder whether we know the full import of what Passover is all about. If the Passover does not take place, we do not make any progress. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If a man does not come to the point where he received the blood of Jesus upon his mind, he does not get anywhere in God. Hallelujah. And that is what all the activities we find in the outer court represent. Hallelujah. The blood is taken and is sprinkled upon the four horns. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. If we don't take advantage of the blood of Jesus Christ and all its meaning and significance, we do not get the benefit. Hallelujah. So the blood is very, very important in our walk with God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, we'll get to number two. Another type. It has to do with the 70 elders. Go to Exodus 24.
Hallelujah.
He said, and he said, I'll read from verse 1. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord. Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near. Hallelujah. In other words, only Moses is going to come near. Nadab and Abihu and Aaron are not coming near. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings
and sacrifice peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. I just want you to watch what happens from now on. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and said unto them, all that the Lord has said, we will do. The people said that all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord had made with you concerning all these words. In other words, by the blood, the words, the pronouncement, the things they said, we are sealed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And, you know, and that is why we must be careful the things we say.
Amen.
Because we are a people that have come under the covenant of the blood of Jesus. So our words are no longer vain words. Hallelujah. The things we speak against one another. Hallelujah. They begin to have impact because of the words we, because of the blood of Jesus Christ on which we have come under this new covenant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because of this, I cannot wish anything evil in my heart against my brethren. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I've got to be careful the things I say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have to be careful what things I say when I'm angry. When I'm being defrauded or when I'm being cheated. Hallelujah. I have to be careful because when once I say it, something is going to happen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not talking because, hallelujah, you see me preaching here. I'm talking about every one of us that have come under the covenant of the blood of Jesus. Be careful the things you say. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody abuses you and curses you, want to return back. You have to be very, very careful. Because of this covenant you have with the Lord, anything can happen. And that is what the Pentecostal men are using against their congregation. Hallelujah. They say if you leave this church, you are going to die. And I tell you, it happens. Hallelujah. Am I correct?
Amen.
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 Because they have come under the covenant of. Many of us don't know what we have. And I pray that from today. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
As we come under the covenant of the blood of Yeshua, we have to be careful the things we say. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because it's with the same mouth. Hallelujah. You can curse. With the same mouth. Hallelujah. You can bless. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Now here, immediately they did that, something happened. Moses sprinkled the blood. Then verse 9 said, then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Hallelujah. The blood made a way for them. Before now, the Lord told them, he said, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70, you just stay away. But immediately Moses sprinkled the blood. They had access. Hallelujah. They were not allowed to draw near. Hallelujah. Amen. And verse 10, and they saw the God of Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. By the blood, they now saw the God of Israel. Do you understand? Amen.
Amen.
Before now, because the blood was not there, they were unable to see. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved walk of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hands. Also, they saw God and did what? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, something, there was a revelation. There was, the heavens were opened unto them because of the blood. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
They were able to eat and to drink. Eating and drinking is part of fellowship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Eating and drinking is very, very significant. Eating and drinking has spiritual import. In other words, you have got to be careful who you eat and drink with. It's not anywhere you enter, they offer you food, you begin to put it into your mouth. Hallelujah. If you have a check, you better hold it. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Because when once you eat and drink with a man, you are coming into covenant with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we have to be very, very careful. Hallelujah. Amen. Even in the breaking of bread. That is why the scripture said something. It said that any man who is unworthy cannot partake. Hallelujah. You cannot go misbehave. You cannot go live in fornication and in adultery. And you come to break bread with the people of God. You will be spreading the spirit of ponia in the midst of the people of God. So he says that you better check yourself. And God will rather destroy one man than to destroy all. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we have to be very, very careful. Praise the Lord. Okay, we move on again. I just want to take. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me just. This last one. 2 Samuel 6.
Yeah,
I jump one and let's take that. Just 2 Samuel 6. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, so David, that this has to do with the returning of the ark. When the first time when they brought in the ark, they did not do it according to due order. And because of that, many people died. Somebody died. Is it not so? Is it not so? Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, they were toiling with the presence of God. Somebody has to pay for that.
And
when we gather together, brethren, we should not be playing around with the presence of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. All our frivolities, let us keep them outside. Let there be solemnity. Let there be soberness. Hallelujah. As we gather together. Hallelujah. We should not be toiling around with the presence of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, some of us feel that the presence of God only manifests when we jump and shout. And that may not necessarily be the only way the presence of God can be felt. Sometimes the presence of God can be felt in quietness. Hallelujah. So we have got to be very, very careful. Amen. Especially the elders must be very, very sensitive to know the direction that God is leading and be able to direct the fellowship into that direction. Hallelujah. Amen. So Uzzah paid for it. Hallelujah. Amen. He thought he could control. He thought he's in charge to hold it. But God had to strike him and he gave way. And when that happened, David was angry. Because he never knew the apostolic vision. Hallelujah. He never knew the way God was leading. He didn't understand it. And because he never understood it, he was angry with God. How many times you come to church? And some of us are angry with God, is it not so? Oh, the way the fellowship went today. Must it always go the way you like? Does God have to take permission from you to lead his people the way you want? Who told you that you have the authority to tell God how the fellowship should go? If you have done your work well, if you have prayed enough and stayed in his presence, you will flow with his presence. Hallelujah. You will flow with the rest of the people of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You won't come and become a clog in the wheel of progress. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 So David was angry. He thought God needed permission from him. And when that happened, the man had to go back to begin to seek God. And it was in that seeking God he discovered the purpose of God. He now knew the right way. And when he discovered that, he said, now this is the time. Come, let us go back. That at the first we did not do it well, but now we are going to do it right. So verse 15 says, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Michal was not in fellowship. Are you with me? She was not part of the fellowship. She was at home. But here she was. She was bringing a verdict upon the people of God. Hallelujah. How many times have we criticized the church? How many times have we spoken evil against the way things are run here? Do you know the consequences of that? Hallelujah. Amen. You are bringing trouble to yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. If you don't understand, go to God. You know what Michal did? He just despised David in her heart. And the result of that was what? What was the result? Barrenness. She was barren until she died. She never had a child. Hallelujah. Amen. Not much more when the presence of God is moving. Somebody says we must walk on tiptoe. We must walk with some bit of trepidation. You have to walk with some bit of care. But oftentimes, we treat the presence of God with levity. We think we can talk about God and the things of God and the people of God the way we talk about other people in their bedroom. It does not work. If you want to stay away from poverty, if you want to stay away from barrenness, if you want to stay away from death, if you want to stay away from weakness, stay away from criticizing the body of Christ. Stay away from shutting down the people of God. Hallelujah. And you will see that you are going to recover very soon. Hallelujah. Amen. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place, in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, burnt offerings and peace offerings, very, very crucial. That means that in Moses, we saw the same thing. Hallelujah. They first of all did what? He said the young men, first of all, offered burnt offering and peace offering. That was in Exodus 24. So it does mean that it is important for us to come into fellowship. Hallelujah. There must be a submitting, a giving, a surrendering our all for God. Peace offering speaks about fellowship. Burnt offering speaks about our offering of our whole self. That is self dying. Hallelujah. The thing that makes me the I that I am gives way. Hallelujah. And when that happens, brethren, then we are church is about to begin. Hallelujah. He said, as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to the women, as men, to everyone a cake of what? Bread. And what? A piece of what? Flesh. And what? A flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you go down, you say David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord. He chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler of the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore, I will play more before the Lord. And I will yet be more vast than thoughts. I will be bathed in my own sight. In other words, there was a death to self. A death to his personality. Even though he was a king. He said that I'm going to be vile. I'm going to be vain. I'm going to be base in my own eyes. And of this maid servants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in what? Honor. Therefore Michal the daughter of Saul had no child unto the day of her death. Amen.
Amen.
Like, what we are trying to say is that after the ark was returned to Israel, Moses, David did something that was significant. He gave the people what? A piece of what? Cake. He gave them meat. He also gave them what?
Wine.
And everybody went home. That was fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. Now, do you know what that event did for them? It gave them the privilege. Because you can live 100 years in Israel and you never saw the ark one day. According to the law of Moses. Hallelujah. The priest has the opportunity to see it what? Once in a year. And when he even going there once in a year, they put belts on his leg. When the janglings of the bed is no more heard, you know that the man has seen something there that killed him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the people in this occasion had the privilege of seeing the ark dancing before the ark without barriers. And Moses said, this is something worth celebrating. Give the people a piece of cake. Give them meat. Give them a flagon of wine. And some people would have eaten that day and said, God, it's okay. Today you can take me home. This is something I've been looking. No, I have never seen it like this before. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that by this act, we now know that we have the privilege to approach his throne of grace without barriers. Let me tell you something, that is what the blood has done. Hallelujah, that we can approach the presence of God without any intermediary. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. So the church must be willing. Hallelujah, to begin to partake of this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let us go now. Hallelujah. What are the consequences? Hallelujah. Or the benefits of the breaking of bread? Go with me to John chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. All this one we have done is just an introduction. Let us get into the real thing now. Hallelujah. I'm borrowing from my master, Brother Iberi. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's read from verse 48. Number one, Jesus said that I am the bread of life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. All the bread and all the symbolics. He says, this is the reality. Oh, hallelujah. You know what symbols does for you? Symbols are a representative of the reality. Hallelujah. He says that all the qualities and the characteristics you find in the symbol, they are also found in reality. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Now let me tell you something. A symbol is a symbol.
Yeah.
And reality is a reality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You know, some of us have the trouble of going through the pain that this symbol must be of certain specification. I said to you, according to your faith, let it be so unto you. Some of us say that it must be unleavened bread. Why some of us say that it is any bread goes? And I think I'm of the school of thought that any bread is bread. Because in the Old Testament, you have cake that was used. The angels came to Elijah. Hallelujah. He came to a point where he lost strength. He lost purpose. In fact, he said, God, come and kill me, that I'm not better than my father. The man thought that this is the end of the road for me. But the Lord had to come to him. And he came by the ravens. Hallelujah. And the ravens brought cake. Why didn't they bring bread? Why didn't they bring unleavened bread? If bread, unleavened bread is what is representative in heaven, why didn't the dove bring it to Elijah? But it brought cake. But it brought cake. So make the matters worse for us. He said, get up and drink from the waters of the brook. Why didn't he bring wine? Symbol is a symbol. But it is something that is representative of the reality. We must understand this, brethren, so that we don't get ourselves tied under unnecessary theology. Oh, because somebody did not bake unleavened bread for us, today we are not breaking bread. My God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, we must have told Sister Odor yesterday. Sister Odor, you know, next time, bake unleavened bread for us on Saturday so that when we come on Sundays, we'll eat it. That will be nice. But what of in case of contingencies where we don't have that time? So we must start looking for somebody to bake unleavened bread for us. It does not work. The scripture does not tie us down to this. So let us be free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sometimes when we come together, it is not necessarily bread and wine, I can tell you. The food that we share together becomes the communion of saints. We must be very careful about this so that we are not tied down by unnecessary doctrines that do not give life. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he says, I am the bread of life. He said, your fathers did eat what? Manna. Manna is from heaven. But some people ate it and they were what? Dead. Why did they die? What caused their death? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus says, listen, I am the bread of life.
Jesus,
you are seeing the reality. Hallelujah. Oh yes, bread is a symbol. And I am that bread. If any man eats of me, he says he will never die. Hallelujah. He said, this is the bread. I'm reading verse 50 now. He said, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not what?
Die.
Hallelujah. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Glory to God.
Amen.
He will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my what? My flesh. And I will give for the life of the world. Now, some people got real problems here. When he said this, you know what they said? What does he mean? What does he mean? It was the same question they asked when manna fell from heaven. They said what? What is this? Hallelujah. Is it not so? And that is what manna is. That is the meaning of manna. Manna means, what is this? Hallelujah. The same question today men are asking. Hallelujah. Because when we talk about the breaking of bread and drinking, he said, what does this mean? Are you cannibals? Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was one brother, we were in SU together. I know in my little way God has been dealing with me. The old man. Retired inspector, you know, principal, then he was an inspector of schools and retired. And we had this little house fellowship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And one day I brought up a word about the blood of Jesus. I didn't know anything about this. Well, I was just you know, in my rascality, I said we have to eat of the flesh of Jesus and drink his blood. He said, no, 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 don't say that. he said, what do you mean by the blood of Jesus? That we drink the blood of... No. It sounds too morbid. It sounds too... one kind. Hallelujah. Well, as a small boy now, old man talking to you, I just... keep quiet. For some people, brethren, when we talk about these things, they can't really get it. And maybe you are here today. Hallelujah. When we are talking about the flesh and the blood of Jesus, talking about the blood and the wine, you don't seem to figure it out. But I pray that God will unravel the mystery to you today. Because when he does that, then you'll be able to walk in faith to lay hold on it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So the Jews were asking, what kind of man is this? Give us his flesh to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood had eternal life. Hallelujah. If you eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, he says that you have life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said, you have life. That's what the scripture says. Oh, glory to God. I love when God speaks to us in superlative terms.
Make my mom,
I use that word in fellowship. They say, what does that mean? Hallelujah. I love when God speaks to us in different levels. God, you know, he follows us according to our levels. You know something? There is something called big, bigger, and what? Biggest. Hallelujah. God can meet you at any level. Hallelujah. Amen. And I don't want him to meet me at the lowest level. Hallelujah. That's why you have 30-fold. You have 60-fold. And you have what? 100-fold. God comes to us in superlative terms. He says that if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, that you have life. Oh, glory to God. In other words, you can have life and it ends there. Do you understand? If you feel that that is the most you can go in God, it is entirely up to you. Hallelujah. You determine, you have to determine how far you go with God. You determine what depth of life you want in God. But I better warn you. He says that if it is in this life, we all have hope that we are of all men what? Miserable. Because he has said that he has given to us all things that pertain to what? To life and to what? Godliness. In other words, he says that if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can have life. You can have the good things of life. You can ride brand new car. If it is the level you want to stop, well and good. Many Christians are stopping at that level. God, I just want a new car. Oh God, I want a house. Oh God, I want children. For some people here, their problem is that they want a husband, they want a wife. And that is what accounts for the fact that many people, when they get married, they stop themselves on that spot. The marriage does not grow. It doesn't go beyond that. The marriage can be without vision, without purpose, without direction, because that was where the man's heart was. He just stayed at the level of marrying and giving to marriage. He just dwelt on this. God, give me heart, give me this. That is the level. So he said that if you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you can really have it. But I want to tell you, brethren, that is not all of the purpose of God. He says that if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will have eternal life. Hallelujah. Are you following? You will have life, but you can also have what? Eternal life. Glory to God.
In other words, you can move beyond this ordinary life and you can come to a place of eternal life. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not only that, some people also come, they say, listen, eternal life is okay for me. Hallelujah. Because eternal life is okay for me, I am living and waiting for the day of rapture. Hallelujah. Rapture is the ultimate for the saints. That is what the man says. But that is not true. Hallelujah. There is something beyond eternal life. Hallelujah. There is something called the resurrection life. Hallelujah. And that is where we move from mortality into immortality. Hallelujah. You cannot afford to remain where you are, brethren. Look at it here. He says that has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah. So we must realize that God is offering us something greater. But you are not a partaker of it, except you eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So he says here, hallelujah. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. I don't think we understand what it means. When he says that this is indeed, it does mean that within this thing, the context has the potential to do many things. Hallelujah. When I eat of the bread and drink of his blood, that there is something indeed that begins to work inside of me. Hallelujah. Oh, Mr. Karamanai. Listen, brethren, we need to realize that he has given it to us. He has given us life in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. If you understand it, then it will help us. He said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Hallelujah. That is the immunity I'm talking about. You get immune. Hallelujah. The vagaries and the adversities and all the adversities and wickedness of the world cannot touch you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
He says that as the living Father has sent me, and I live by him. Jesus lived by him. Hallelujah. It wasn't a parasitic life. No. I think it wasn't a symbiotic life. But it was a parasitic life. I don't know whether you understand that. In other words, his being alive was dependent on the Father. It wasn't as if he helped God helping him. That is symbiotic. But the life he lived depended on the Father. And that was why Paul was speaking. He says, my life is hid in Christ, in God. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! So he was living by the Father. Hallelujah. In other words, he says that all of my springs are in thee, oh God. Glory to God. Amen. His well-being was taken care of. Life after here has been taken care of. Hallelujah. Everything depended on God. Now, to illustrate that to the Levites, you know what God said to them? He said, don't give them any of this your earthly inheritance. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? He said, their inheritance is of me. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, I am their portion. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Amen. That is the priestly life. Hallelujah. He lives by the power of God. He does not have the ability to live by himself. So when God is saying something about being sold out, he said, give up. All he's saying is to my advantage, so that he can come and take possession. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, tomorrow I still believe there are people bullets cannot kill. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. When we begin to rise in the spirit. Amen. Huh? We hear gunshot in our premises. You just go. Hallelujah. You just go. Hallelujah. And they enter your house, they don't see you. Even when they see you, they talk to you, they can't even talk, communicate with you. Because the man has been taken over. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. It is a reality. Hallelujah. But in my own low state, my own ordinary state, they broke in through my window. And they entered. And I saw them. Hallelujah. Like I told you, I don't sleep. So I just heard, something like this. I woke up and I opened. I called my wife. I said, wake up. Robbers are here. Hallelujah. I said, you guys go to the next room. I started making calls. As I made calls, that doors were opening, they knew that somebody was awake. So they now came through my window. They were pointing torch until they located me. As they did that, they just circled me and put me on a spot. Hallelujah. And cut through this and entered. One small one among them entered, opened the door for others. Hallelujah. This was in a matter of 5 minutes. They have entered. Hit me. And when they hit me, I just heard, relax. You don't have any gun, just relax, leave them. Hallelujah. I sat down there. They say, you are calling police? I said, yes. He said, where is the police? I said, across the road. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They hurriedly took my wedding band. That's the second time they have done that. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So it's not that I don't believe in wedding band, I believe. But I don't want teeth to be keep stealing it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So when they came, hallelujah, did that. Immediately I said that they collected my phones and then left.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The trauma of that lasted for close to 1 month. I couldn't sleep. My wife couldn't sleep. Every time it is getting dark, we walk on tiptoe. Don't want to make noise. I'm telling you seriously. It was fear. Cockroach will move around. I think it's them. It was becoming something of a night. It was become terrible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I turned my heart. Hallelujah. In fact, before then, my wife said, what kind of life is this? Why are we so afraid? Let us rise and rebuke it. Maybe I said in my heart, this is not a thing of rebuke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Think it's that easy? Amen. But anyway, she rebuked it. Hallelujah. But I was praying and I was telling God. I said, God, take away this fright. Take it away from me. Hallelujah. And I prayed one night. Hallelujah. I slept. I didn't sleep. I was just lying down on the bed. My eyes were open. Hallelujah. And quietly, smoothly, I just dozed off. Immediately I dozed off, I saw something. I saw a man fully armed like the Roman soldiers, very tall, standing at the foot of my bed. I was just there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Immediately I saw it. Boy, I slept off. That was the end of it from that day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So it is a reality. This life we're talking about is a reality. Many of us are gripped with the fear of death, fear of sickness and disease. Tonight I give you a challenge. Eat of the flesh and drink of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. All your fears will go. Hallelujah. He says that fear is a torment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let me just finish reading that. He said, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me.
Yes.
This is that bread which came down from heaven. He said that this is the symbol. Now, this is the reality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Just go down to, I think it's verse 60. Hallelujah. It says, Many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Do you know that some even left at that point? Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that picketh. He said, the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So God is not talking about something that is just a physical thing. He's talking about something that is deep spiritual.
Yeah.
And if I'm able to comprehend it,
hallelujah,
it is by the spirit that you're able to receive it. You cannot receive it ordinarily. It is by the spirit. The church have lost the import. Because we just rivalize the things of God and make them to come down to our carnal level.
Then
God is speaking about something that is spiritual. Hallelujah. And because it's spiritual, it can affect many things. It can do what we never thought nor could imagine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The shackles of death is broken because of this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I take one more point. Hallelujah. Then we will begin to pray. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter 24.
The second one, Luke, will be now.
So beyond the issue of giving you life, of giving you an eternal life, of giving you the resurrection life. Hallelujah. You know what Jesus said? He said that I am the resurrection. I am the life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said that he that believes, what will happen? That he will never die.
Amen.
But there is another thing that the breaking of bread will do for you. Right here that where we are, the breaking of bread can do something that you never could imagine. Something that you have struggled with all your life. Something that you have struggled with all your life. So many of us here, the ministries have been so close to us. The mysteries of God have been close to us. The understanding of the scripture has been closed to us. So when certain things are said, we are not able to appreciate it. We are unable to appreciate spiritual things because we do not have this particular life that Jesus is talking about. Because we have not come to this spiritual experience of breaking of bread. Certain things are concealed from us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Certain revelations are not open to us because we do not break bread. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So go with me to Luke chapter 24. You will see what happened there. Amen. Yeshua. Read it from verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Amen. When it says 4 furlongs, it means that it is close to a day's journey. Hallelujah. Amen. So he was walking with them, and they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In this scripture, you will find these four components we have talked about. I want you to notice. Hallelujah. Because this is the practical of all that we have said here from Acts chapter 2. This is like the summary. In other words, saying that Jesus also experienced it. So these two men were walking, they were going to Emmaus, and Jesus came in their midst. And what he did was that he reasoned with them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we get into apostolic doctrine, you know what we do? We reason with God.
Amen.
He said, come and let us what? Reason together.
Huh?
Say at God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there is a reasoning. They commune. Look at the next word there. And it came to pass that while they communed together, is it not fellowship?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were what? Were holding that they should not know him. They were having fellowship. They were even sharing some doctrine.
But
certain things were not open to them. The revelation of Jesus was not open to them. And yet they were on a journey. There are many who are on this journey with us. They don't have a revelation. They come to fellowship. They participate in the Bible study. They participate in fellowship. They jump around when we go for outreaches. Yet the revelation of Jesus has not come to them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I pray that today you will have a revelation of Jesus. A fresh revelation of him. Hallelujah. Verse 17 says, and he said unto them, what manner of communication? He said to them, what manner of what? What manner of what? What manner of what?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you're having fellowship, you don't have a revelation. What kind of communication is this? The same word, the same word. If you go to interlinear 3056, it's the same word as fellowship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You say, what manner of fellowship are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Hallelujah. That is why you can come to fellowship and you leave and you are sad. Unfulfilled fellowship. You don't have a revelation of Jesus. You leave here, all you have is question, and argument. Because you don't have a revelation of Jesus. Because the things that are revealed to us, they are revealed by His Spirit. Hallelujah. And one of them started talking, oh, how can you be here and you don't know what is going on? So he asked the verse 19, he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and had crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company. In other words, they were also disciples. Yet they didn't have a revelation of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, certain of us, hallelujah, came saying, they had seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And he began to expound. Look at it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. He began to expound unto them all the scriptures. He began to teach them doctrine. He began to bring a revelation of the deep things of God to them. He began to speak so that they could understand and relate to the things that have been spoken before now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as they drew near unto the village, they went in. And he made as though he would have gone further. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
He just did what we call put the foot in. He just went as if a fault. They thought he was going forward, but the man knew what he was doing. Hallelujah. They said, no, don't go. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. If he does that way and he takes your heart, hallelujah, and you don't want him, he will keep going. And that's why I can say, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hallelujah. I can tell you, you can come into fellowship and Jesus is here. And there is a willingness in the heart of the people for the deeper experiences in God. He will come and he will pass you by. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. But look at what those two men did. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Look at verse 29. And they constrained him.
Oh,
my God. That we might constrain the Lord today. Hallelujah. Amen. And they said unto him, abide with us. For it is for the evening. We have come to the evening time. The timing is approaching midnight. We are indeed in the time of the midnight. So we can take it to still be what? Evening. Because he said in the evening time, there shall be light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And he told the parable of the 10 virgins. Hallelujah. Midnight is approaching. This is the time to know all you need to know. This is the time. Forget all those your politics. Forget all your camps. It is time to seek the Lord. Forget that I belong to Paul and I belong to Apollos. It is time to seek the Lord. Run away for your soul. Hallelujah. Because we have come to the evening time. I tell you something, midnight will determine a lot of things. There's something we say in Igbo. They say that it is when breeze blows. You will discover whether father is wearing pants.
I'm okay.
Hallelujah. At midnight we will know who is who. At midnight we will know where we belong. You see, all these things were gyrating all over the place. I tell you, it's a waste of time. Every man should go into his closet and begin to seek the Lord until we be found of him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So he said, abide with us. The evening is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. If you don't ask him, he does not come. He's not a gate crusher. He said that he that opens, I will come. I will enter. Hallelujah. And it came to pass as he sat at meat. Hallelujah.
Amen.
With them, he took what? I want you to use your mouth to say it. He took what? Okay. Okay, he took unleavened bread. That's all what the scripture says here. He took what? Bread. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. If it is important to him, the scripture will put it there. Scripture never makes mistakes. Some of us think that scripture makes grammatical mistakes. That is your own, no? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
You know why? I belong to Department of Linguistics and Communication. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know that English language is still evolving. It's so inconsistent.
Okay.
Are you following me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. Now, forget that one. We have passed that.
Hallelujah.
So give you an example. I told my wife one morning, I said, English language, they are confused. For example, how can you say spoke and spoke? Past tense of speak is those wires that cross in bicycle. What is it called? So how can you say spoke and spoke? Hallelujah. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. They are confused. Hallelujah. So if you follow English language and following grammar, that is why he said that the letter was killed. But the spirit does what? Gives life. So you follow the spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So don't, some people will be looking at the grammatic error of the Bible and they miss the spirit.
Wow, hey,
that is your own, you're on your own. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So grammar is not the issue. Hallelujah. He said he came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and he blessed it and broke and gave them to them. Hallelujah. Immediately he did that. What happened? The Bible said that their eyes were open. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you something. The breaking of bread will open your eyes to begin to behold the mysteries of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And your understanding will be enlightened. Immediately he did that. He said that, and their eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Amen.
Amen.
I'll quickly go to the last scripture here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. We'll just anchor on that. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Let's take it from verse 17. Good. Go on.
What are we not supposed to eat and to drink in, or despise the church of God and shame him that are God? What shall I eat? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, my brother.
I will say to you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, let's take it from the bottom up.
Yes.
They are not breaking bread the way they should and appropriately, was it entirely what? Disorder. Hallelujah. He said he was setting things in order here. There are other things, but this one is very, very important. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, there was a problem that the Corinthian Christians had. One of their problems was rascality. Another problem they had was division. They had the problem of camp. Hallelujah. They had cliques, different groups. Any group that comes first will grab the bread and finish it. Anyone that comes and grabs the wine, they will carry it and finish it to the point that where they get what? Drunken. That is in your scripture there. Hallelujah. In other words, anyone you come and you see, grab and take. That was the way they were operating. And you dare not from the wine group, you go and beg this group for bread. You don't try it. Because they will not give you. There was so much disorder. So much confusion. So much division in their midst. And it was becoming so much an embarrassment. And because of that, there were so much that were sick. Many of them were weak. Many of them were even dying. And Paul had to come. Hallelujah. And to tell them something. Now, what Paul was telling them, he says that it is something that he has received of the Lord. In other words, it was a revelation. Hallelujah. Amen. That this is the center of your problem. Because of this kind of thing, that is why there is a lot of rascality in your midst. People will say, rah, rah, rah. You are just doing rah, rah, rah. Amen. Hallelujah. So he has to come and say, listen, this is the root of your problem. That this matter was so important to the Lord that the night he was being crucified, he did it. He said, come. He took bread, he broke it, and he gave them. I'm trying to summarize this. Hallelujah. And when he gave them, he said that, do it in what? Do it what? Can you find that word, remembrance? What does it mean? In other words, he said that, remembrance, do it, let it remind you of me.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. That when you break bread, let that breaking of bread remind you of me. Remind you of who I am. Remind you of how I have walked upon the face of the earth. That I walked on this earth and I was not subjected to sin. I walked here and I was sinless. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I walked on this earth and everywhere I went I was what? Doing good. I walked on this earth and I spoke to the dead that was rotten in the grave, and after 4 days he came forth. Let it remind you of me. Let it remind you that a man can walk in that dimension. Hallelujah. Let this, my partaking of bread, let it remind you that a man can walk in the purpose of God every day of his life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is what he was telling them. Hallelujah. As we break bread, brethren, that is what should be upon our heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, many of us, when we break bread, we think it's one of those things that we eat. Hallelujah.
Hey.
Is it possible that somebody gives you money and you are looking at money, but something else is working in that money against you? Is it possible? Can money be a medium to influence you? Can somebody, can there be a spirit in, put into money that will make you poor? Yes, it will happen. Even the Almajirians, they understand it. So when you give them money, I hear they go and wash it. Hallelujah. Do you understand?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You seem not to understand this. Hallelujah. Is it possible that somebody gives you food in your village? And that food is a means of initiating you to something. Is it possible? Is it possible? Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is it possible that when the dead, when the body is in the corpse, I hear they throw in pin. That pin they throw in will make the spirit to be released to torture that family. It does mean that it happens. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know what I'm getting at? Do you know what I'm trying to say? That in the blood, in the bread of Jesus, that bread, that body, there is something, there is a spirit that is inside. So he is not talking necessarily of the physical bread you are eating. He's talking about something. Hallelujah. The bread is a medium in which he brings life into your being. Hallelujah. Through that bread, he breaks covenant and curses. When was it entered? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
The same with the blood. The same with the wine that you drink. Hallelujah. When once you drink it, I so much believe that I have been immune against sickness and disease. Hallelujah. And that is why he said, when you do that, if you can only do it what? Worthily. If you do it right. Hallelujah. That if you do it right, some of you will not be weak. Some of you will not be sick. Some of you will not die. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
By this,
amen,
you restrain the hand of death over the people. And I tell you something. It is not something that you only do when you gather together. Right, be careful. You and old work can do it. Bro Sam comes visiting, you do it. Is it scriptural?
Yes.
The Bible said that they broke the bread what? House to house. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So it is not, listen, I said religion, Catholicism has killed us. They made it for a special class of people. Hallelujah. In your home with your children, you can break bread. You can pass life into their being. In a home where there is constant sickness. Every time either father is sick or mother is sick or children are sick, break bread and you terminate it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. But what he's saying is that you must do it worthily.
Amen.
You cannot be having contention in your house and in your heart and you are breaking bread. It will not work. In fact, he said that you bring damnation to yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I pray that God will touch our hearts today. Hallelujah. And walk in us. I just want to, there are many scriptures to read, but let's just leave it there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Can we just stand on our feet? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we take a song together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Whatever the Holy Ghost does from there on, I don't know. Hallelujah.